ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
मुखा करोति वाचा लंफंगो लंगायते गिरिं अत्किपाथमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनधारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरम् When Rath Yatra begins, what's the first thing that happens? No, first thing happens is 15 days before Snan Yatra. There's the bathing ceremony of the deities. Then for 15 days, Jagannath is closed. When that, he gets a cold, right? And every day they give him special medicines. In Melbourne, they had Snan Yatra. Boxing Day. So when that happens, then for 15 days Lord Chaitanya doesn't get darshan of the deities. And for him the highlight of his day is to go and have darshan of Lord Chaitanya, of Lord Jagannath. So when he can't see Jagannath, then he feels so much separation that he went running to the nearest Vishnu temple, which is in Alalanath. It's about what, something like 16 kilometers away or something? 11 or 16. You know. And then he was burning in such separation from Krishna that when he got to the deity, he just paid his obeisances before the deity. And his transcendental form was so intense with love of Krishna that it actually melted the stone. And it left a body print. Like if you put a hand print in the sand or the mud, it left an entire body print in the stone of the temple. How many have seen that? You went. So after that, no devotees wanted to walk over Lord Chaitanya's body print, so they took out the stone, and now it's in a separate little temple next to that. And they do regular worship to it. The temple who's responsible for doing that worship once offered me whether ISKCON wanted to take up the worship. What do you think? Some pujari has to stay there. A lot of this, if you, like that, there's a lot of opportunities for us to do worship. We need a lot of pujaris. A lot of brahmanas willing to dedicate themselves to serving a deity. In this case, the deity is imprint. So then finally, the day before the Rath Yatra, there's another very special festival that happens. What's that festival? Cleaning, yes, cleansing of the Gundicha temple. That's considered very important in Chaitanya Lila for many reasons. And so Jagannath lives in the Jagannath temple. And Rath Yatra means that he goes to the Gundicha temple. The Gundicha temple is a couple of kilometers down the road. And Gundicha temple is like a garden temple. There's so many palm trees, mango trees, coconut trees, jackfruit trees. It's like a very luxurious little garden temple. It's a much smaller temple. I mean, the Jagannath Puri temple is about 216 feet high, 21 stories high, quite. And this is just maybe a three-four story building. Not. So this is like his going out for a vacation. And Gundicha is representing what? Palika? Right. That Gundicha is representing the Vrindavan. Like Krishna, Jagannath is going from Jagannath Puri over to Vrindavan. What's Jagannath temple representing? Dwarka. It's like Krishna going from Dwarka to Vrindavan. So this Gundicha temple is basically vacant the whole year. And for 9 days a year, then Jagannath goes and stays there. So this temple has been existing for thousands of years, just like the Jagannath Puri temple. So it's made out of granite stones. And just like here, we have a marble floor, but then in between they put this white cement in between the marble. And when you have granite floor, the cracks are bigger, but then there's nothing in between. Sometimes in South India they put lead in between in the cracks. Pour molten lead in the crack, but I don't think they have that in Jagannath Puri. So every year Lord Chaitanya would go with his associates and they would clean this temple. It would be their personal service. So he asked the king's superintendent that he wants to clean the Gundicha temple. And that for that he wants brooms and water pots and cloths and things like that, rags, everything for cleaning the temple. So then as soon as he knew, he gave 100 new brooms and 100 water pots the day before. So then on the actual day of the Gundicha, then when everybody's assembled there to do the cleaning, the Lord Chaitanya came up and took sandalwood pulp, and first he put it on the forehead and the bodies of all his associates. That also shows how personal and merciful Lord Chaitanya is, giving sandalwood. Then after getting the sandalwood, each one got a broom. The broom brigade. Then they were marching all off to Gundicha for cleaning. So first they swept the temple, and in the temple, because it's lying idle for a year, so there were so many leaves and stones and dust. So first they got all the big things, the twigs and the leaves and things that have blown there. And then after they took away the singhasan where Jagannath was sit and cleaned under it, put it back. So this way all the buildings, the courtyard, everything they cleansed. There's a kirtan hall and there's a temple. So in between there's a little area, they clean that. So hundreds of devotees are busy cleaning. Some brought their own brooms too. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally doing it also, just to show others how to do it. So while they were all cleaning, they were very happy. They're all chanting, and they were in great jubilation. Premolase sodhena loyan Krishna nam bhakta gana Krishna kohe kore nidjokam. Premulase means in great jubilation of love. They were cleaning, and at the same time, loyana Krishna nam. They were chanting the holy name of Krishna. This also gives us a good cue how we should clean the pots, how we should clean the floor, how we should do our cleaning duties or any duties we have, singing the holy names of Krishna. Right? So by singing the holy name of Krishna and cleansing, everyone was having a great time of it. So then we gather all the, who could get the biggest pile of dust and sand and straws. So then Lord Chaitanya, he said, okay, let's have a competition. I'll tell how much you worked by how much you've been able to collect, how much of the dirt you've been able to gather. And you bring it outside. So everyone had their own pile. So they're having competition of who could make the biggest pile. And so when Lord Chaitanya, he was working so furiously cleaning. So when he put his pile together, not only was the biggest pile, but then all the other devotees together, put all theirs together, still smaller than Lord Chaitanya's. 1 versus 200. So when everything was swept clean, then the next was another sweeping. Because the first one was like, you just got out to big piles of dust and straws and things. So now, sweep it again and get out the fine sands, the fine dust. So again, the second time they cleansed it. And then, after finishing the second time sweeping, then for the third cleansing, they brought the water pots. How many have been on me to the safari when we go to Jagannath Puri? So remember seeing Indradumna Sarovar? Where they were, from Indradumna Sarovar, they were having a bucket brigade of waters, of water pots, passing it one to the next. It's about 300-400 meters, maybe more. And they pass the water pots over to the Gundicha temple, and there Lord Chaitanya and his associates were throwing the water and again cleansing. So two dry cleanings, now the first wet cleaning. Throwing it on the ceilings, the walls, the floors. Everybody was throwing water. Sometimes it also fell a little bit on them. Washing the sitting place. So everybody had a broom in their hand and others were pouring water, and this way sometimes they would pour a little water on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. So then some devotees would just sneak the water. And some other devotees are begging, please give me some of the nectar. So some are giving, some are taking the charity. So in this way, sometimes they were after cleaning with brooms, and they start mopping. They didn't have enough cloth, so some people are mopping with their own clothes. So in this way, everything became so cleansed that it was purified, cool, and pleasing. This is like the Lord's own mind was had appeared there. Prabhupada also often said that when we cleanse the temple, actually we're cleaning our heart. There are so many residual dirts in our heart from millions of births, unlimited millions of births in this material world. And then when we clean the temple, it actually cleans the dirt from our heart. When our heart is cleansed, then we naturally become peaceful and happy. It's our nature to be happy. Why aren't we happy? It's because of these dirts in the heart. So everybody was engaged in this service. There are a few people, some of the big gurus, Nityananda, Advaita, Sarup Dhammadar, Brahmananda Puri, Paramananda Puri, they were in the temple supervising things. Sometimes, you see, they had clay water pots. So when the water pots were being carried, sometimes they hit each other and they broke. If somebody is ready for another pot, then he would chant, Krishna! Krishna, Krishna, kohi, kore gate prarthan. Krishna, Krishna, kohi, kore gate samarpan. One person begged for a water pot, chanting the holy name Krishna, Krishna. Another delivered the pot chanting Krishna Krishna. So the whole vocabulary there was Krishna Krishna. So nobody was speaking anything else, they're simply chanting Krishna Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, he was also chanting Krishna Krishna and performing the work of hundreds of people. While Lord Chaitanya was cleaning, he was also encouraging others. You're doing very well. You could do it. Look at how good he's doing. Look at how good he's doing. Why are you not doing as good as he's doing? You could do better than that. So people he was sometimes criticizing, sometimes praising, sometimes showing off, showing us an example. Not that even if he chastised somebody, didn't hold any grudges. No, it's not like he got angry or something at him. He just like that casually chastised him. I mean, you're not doing very good. Teach this to others, you're doing very good. So whenever Lord Chaitanya would praise somebody or chastise somebody, then others were feeling ashamed. Oh, I have to try harder. So Lord Chaitanya also was showing in this way how to encourage devotees. If somebody is doing good, we should point it out. That this devotee is doing very nice. So that encourages others to also try to do nice. If somebody is spacing out a little bit, and you say, okay, you know, you don't get angry at them. But you can... Someone in a senior position can tell them you're not doing as well as you could. So like this, Lord Chaitanya was taught how to encourage people in different ways. While all this was going on, then one devotee from Bengal, he just right in front of Lord Chaitanya came and poured water on his lotus feet, and right in front of him, he took the water and drank it. After this, everybody was sneaking it. You know, they were like pouring it and sneaking. But this one, like this, obviously went right up in front of Lord Chaitanya and did it. So then Lord Chaitanya became very unhappy externally. Became angry. And then he, although he was satisfied that he was having so much faith, but at the same time, he shouldn't have done it. Like that. So he called for Sarup Dhammadar and he said, look at what your Bengali Vaishnava has done. I'm in the temple room and he's washed my foot and he's drinking the water. What is this? So I don't know what my destination will be. I'm in the temple where the Lord is going to be and he's drinking my foot water. Where am I going to go? So your Bengali Vaishnava has put me in so much difficulty, implicated me in offenses. It's like when we're in front of the deities, and Prabhupada, sometimes we'll be in front of the deities, someone would come up and offer him obeisances, and he would object. You don't offer right in front of the deities. So normally the temple design is there's the temple and there's like a little darshan area in front of the temple. You ever seen like Gaudiya Math or some traditional temples? They have a little space where people go for darshan. And there's a kirtan hall. So Niskan, we kind of merge the two things. So Prabhupada considered this half of the temple is the kirtan hall and the front part is the darshan area. So right in front of the deities, you shouldn't bow down to the guru or touch anybody's feet or anything. But that's why we do puja on the other side. It's on the other side of the temple. That's technically not the temple room, that's the kirtan hall. But he was apparently at that time right in the temple room, the altar room they were cleaning. And so then he considered it's an offense, even he was a guru, that his foot would be washed by a devotee. So Subdhamana grabbed that Vaishnava by the neck and was chastising him and dragged him to the door and put him out the door. What are you doing, you nonsense? Why are you doing all this? But then he went back and begged Lord, please excuse him. He's an innocent Vaishnava. He just wanted some mercy. So this is also some leela. By this, what did Lord Chaitanya establish? Etiquette? Anything else? Pardon? Anybody? Also, yeah, establishing his position, acting as a devotee. Service to the Vaishnavas. He especially said it shouldn't be done in the temple room. It didn't say other places. It was so serious. And one other thing he established, very esoteric. Who's responsible for all the Bengali Vaishnavas? Sarup Damodar. Said, you're Bengali Vaishnava. So by this he established that Sarup Damodar was responsible for all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. That's why we all respect Sarup Damodar very especially. And he's the protector for patron saint for all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The importance also of following etiquette is a good point. So then Lord Chaitanya, after everything was done, he said that now they all sat down, those little cracks, remember I told you about the cracks between the stone? They took twigs, and so you want to scrape out the cracks. Some dust and muck fell in the cracks. So they all were there scraping out all the cracks and getting the last bit of dirt out. Then he told everybody that I'm going to gather everybody's collection, and whoever has collected less than the others has to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice. Prasadam. Has to pay a prasadam fine. So in this way, all the quarters of Gurnicha got very cleansed, spotless and fine. And then some of the places they had the water blocked up inside the room and they're cleaning it out. They let the water out, it came out like a river. So much water had been carried by the buckets. So in this way, automatically somehow all the roadways outside got cleansed. Nobody saw how it happened. Maybe the devas came down and did it. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote it's a very long purport. This Prabhupada quoted, it's like 5 pages long. Which I won't read, I'll give you some highlights from it. He said, this whole lila is showing Cheto Darpana Marjanam, cleansing the heart, the consciousness. So if we want to cleanse our heart, we need to hear and chant the glories of Lord Krishna. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. Krishna is in our heart, but we don't see Krishna because we're covered over. So we want to make our heart clean, that Krishna will reside there and that we can realize His presence. How would you like to realize the presence of Krishna in your heart? That's very good. So devotees, therefore, they had to cleanse their heart, just like the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. So some things are considered straw, grains of sand, weeds and dust. These are called anyavilasha purna. Other desires, fruit of work, mental speculation, mystic yoga perfection. If we have other desires, these are very big obstacles in our spiritual progress and devotional service. So these are like pebbles and stones. When someone hasn't really fixed himself yet in devotional service, they have this, all these other desires for sense gratification and for liberation and things like that. So that means that even if they're doing devotional service, they have some other motive in their mind. And even doing too severe and austerity, all these things are not good for devotional service. So they're considered unclean, and they make one unfit to realize love of Krishna. So those things have to be cleared away. So like this, each phase, like four times he cleans the temple, so then each phase, going from the grosser desires to the desire for liberation, desires for comfort, and then more subtle things like fault finding, always finding the faults in others, and this way trying to set yourself up that you think you're better than others. Pratishtasa, desire for fame and position, enviousness against other entities, breaking the different kind of regulative principles, desire for popularity, desire for worship, desire for material gain. We want to clear away all these different kinds of tendencies in our heart. What should be our desire? To serve Krishna. To please Krishna. So if we have the pure desire to please Krishna, then our heart is clean. So this clearing away all these dirts is called anatta nivritti. It's one of the stages of devotional service. To get cleansed from all these unwanted thoughts and unwanted desires. So we go on, and just like he cleansed, the Lord Chaitanya cleansed the Gundita temple, we go on with our devotional service, cleansing the heart. Right next to Gundita temple, there's a beautiful temple of Narsingadev. Who saw the Narsingha temple? Some of the temples, they don't let Westerners go in. But this temple, sometimes they let you in. And if you go right in, you see that this is a very unusual deity. He's a double Narasimha. Do you know that? On the outside of Narasimha is a very peaceful Narasimha. One of the most peaceful Narasinghas you've ever seen. And the pujari brought me in one time, and he showed me that if you look, you can see that behind that Narasingha, it's like a facade Narasingha, there's another Narasingha. And he's the most ferocious Narasingha you could ever see. Ugra. Ripping Hiranyakashipu in pieces. And they said that there was one Mohammedan ruler that came to destroy all the temples there. And that before they had Ugra Narasimha, who was in this angry mood. But then Narasimha showed this very peaceful mood. And when the Mohammedans saw this peaceful Narasimha, he just became very peaceful and decided not to destroy any temples. Narasimha Dev Ki. So there was a regular kirtan after this temple cleaning. They'd go next door to the Narasimha temple and have ecstatic kirtan. And this kirtans would go on and on. And different time, one time there was a pastime where in that kirtan, Advaita Acharya was jumping up and all the devotees were jumping. And then Gopal, the son of Advaita, he was jumping also in ecstasy. And he was jumping so intensely, so ecstatically, that all of a sudden it's like he fell unconscious on the ground. Like he had a seizure or something. And then Advaita was really, you know, upset, and he came, picked him up, put him on the lap, was chanting Narasimha mantras, but he wasn't reviving. He wasn't breathing. He had died. And nothing was reviving. Then Lord Chaitanya came, and I forget, he put his hand or put his foot on his, I think he put his hand on his heart. And he said, Gopal, chant Hare Krishna, get up. And then Gopal came back to life and chanted Hare Krishna and jumped up. So they're having this pastime. Said that in that kirtan in the Narasimha temple, Lord Chaitanya was like a maddened lion dancing in the middle. When Lord Chaitanya danced, he was perspiration, trembling, fading, tears, jubilation, and roaring. Indeed, the tears from his eyes washed his body and those before him. So Lord Chaitanya was washing all the devotees around him with tears from his eyes. The tears were pouring like rains in the month of Shravan. Yesterday we had some heavy rains. In the month of Shravan in India, especially in eastern India, get rains like that. So they're comparing those kind of pouring down rains to how the tears are coming from Lord Chaitanya's eyes. How many of you like to be bathed by the tears of Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy? Gauranga! This Prabhu put us in ecstasy day before yesterday playing Shivananda Sena. Reminding us of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Assisted by a very enthusiastic cast, I must say. Bhakti Devi and Sridham and a couple others. So this whole sky was filled with the sound. I put his hand on his chest. Oh, here it is. He came back to his senses and began to chant. So like this, that was the day, that was like the day before the Rath Yatra. And the actual day of the Rath Yatra. Of course, after all that, guess what happened? Before they went home? Jai Radha Govardhanadari ki, Krishna Balaram ki, Gaur Nitai ki. They had a big feast. Variety of vegetables, rice, cake, sweet rice. So Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, heavy kirtan and heavy prasaram. And heavy service. A lot of service. That time, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, Acharya Ratna, Acharya Nidhi, Srivas Thakur, Garadhar Prabhu. Nandan Acharya, Raghava Pandit, Vakrishwar, Shankara, they're all present. These are all wonderful personalities. You know Vakrishwar, what does he do? Vakrishwar Pandit? He's a specially empowered kirtan dancer in Lord Chaitanya's kirtan party. One time he was in ecstasy and he non-stop danced for 72 hours. Empowered dancer. Right. If we dance for tonight, we'll have experience of a few hours of dancing, but 72 hours is inconceivable. Yeah. Raghava Pandit, what's he famous for? Raghava's Jolie. He and his sister Damayanti every year would prepare special dry prasadam for Lord Chaitanya. Each prasadam had a different expiry date, 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 1 year. So they'd bring different types of achars, like lemon achar, different mango pickles, and all different kinds of things that some things would last a whole year. And they'd bring as digestive aids and as little condiments for Lord Chaitanya's diet. So they'd make it in Bengal and they would be brought by bags and by baskets in procession all the way from Bengal, 500 kilometers. So when the bearers would come with all these bags of achars, you know what achar is? Pickle. You ever had lemon pickle? Mango pickles? You had? Didn't have it. It's usually kind of hot. There's all kinds. There's sweet, mango, pickle. Prabhupada's sister, who's also his god sister, we used to call her Pisima. She sometimes would invite me to, when I was alone in India with Achyutananda. So we were, you know, feeling homesick from the rest of ISKCON in 1970. Then she would invite us to come over and take prasadam at her house. What a cook! Unbelievable. And she especially had these jars of pickles she'd bring out from, you know. And she had a special, I wasn't, you know, she brought out a special sweet mango pickle. And it was just like, it was aged. I don't know how long she aged it, maybe for years. And the syrup would come off of it like thick yellow, orange, mango color. And really amazing. Just amazing preparations. One time Prabhupada had diarrhea and he asked her, she came visiting, to cook me something. And just by her cooking, she cooked hot puris and salt for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada took hot puris and salt. Normally you think puris, you don't think you take it when you have a stomach ache. But she cooked in such a way, he took it and got cured. But then sometimes she would cook too opulent and Prabhupada complained, you know, how do you expect me to eat all this? But she was one of these original kind of Bengali cooks. So each one of these devotees, of course, Srivas Thakur, Garaha Prabhu, there are Panchatattva, you know them. Paramananda Puri, you know about him? He's one of the, the root of the Chaitanya tree is, the main root is Madhavendra Puri. But then there are eight other roots which are different god brothers of Lord Chaitanya's guru. And one of them is Paramananda Puri. So, Paramananda Puri has an ashram that's behind the Jagannath Puri temple, about 200 meters. So, in Jagannath Puri, because it's right next to the ocean, when you dig wells, it's very hard to get fresh water. Sometimes you get salty water. So you want to get, you can't drink salty water. You want to drink fresh water. So he dug a well hoping it would be a fresh water, but it came out salty. So he was kind of lamenting, now what to do, because it's a whole big thing to dig a well. It was an open well dug down maybe 20 meters or something. And then the water is not fresh. And Lord Chaitanya came by with a kirtan party. He said, what happened? And he said, well, the water is not sweet. What do you mean? And then Lord Chaitanya took his kirtan party and they did kirtan around the well. Then he called the Ganges and all the holy rivers there. So after that, all the water became sweet and now it's considered Ganges water. And the well is still there, but they don't keep it clean anymore. But that was another place one temple asked me. Right now they have a police station in his ashram. It's kind of, somehow a recent government took over the ashram, put a police station there 100 years ago, and we're trying to get them to let it be an ashram again. Anyway, very interesting place. So they're all sitting down having prasadam, and then Lord Chaitanya is calling, Haridas, Haridas, come here. But Haridas standing at a distance. He said, let Lord Chaitanya take prasadam with his devotees. I am abominable, so I cannot sit down among you. Govinda will give me prasadam later. I am sitting outside the door. He was so humble. He is also very clever. Since he was born in a Mohammedan family, so because there are so many caste-conscious people in the temple, he just avoided all the controversy and just said, no, I'll just take outside. But he was very clever. That way he got all of Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprasad. Then what was left from Lord Chaitanya's plate, he'd always give it to Haridas. So he got special mercy. So while they were eating, they were all chanting, they're distributing prasadam, and everybody was, whenever they would get a breather from eating, they would chant Hare Krishna. So like this, there were so many different pastimes going on. Now when... Gundicha marchana lila sankhepe kohilo chaha deki suni papir krishna bhakti hohilo. I have briefly described the pastimes of the Lord in washing and cleansing the Gundicha temple. By seeing or hearing of these pastimes, even sinful men can awaken their Krishna consciousness. Harivo! Everybody, next day they got up in the dark and took the early morning bath. And they watched the ceremony of bringing Jagannath down from the Puri temple to the chariots. There's three chariots. These chariots, I think one has, 15 wheels, one 14 wheels, one 13 wheels, is that it? Forget now. Or is it 16, 15, and 14? Each one has a different number of wheels. And there's no steering wheel. So the way they steer is they'll put when the rath, if it's going too far this way, that way, then on the opposite side you want it to go, they'll put a couple of wooden blocks, and there are a few wheels, and so they'll jam a couple wheels, and then they'll start turning the other way. And it weighs a lot. And there's no ball bearings on the wheels. So it takes really strong, 500 strong people to pull each chariot. So when they take the deities down, then they have cushions, like pillows on each step. And I was personally there in 1970 itself. And I got a place in opposite from the Jagannath temple, up on the top of a Dharmashala guest house, and I could see like everything was from, could see into the temple and see the whole operation. So just as it's described here, that they have these pillows and they tie Jagannath's feet and waist with silken ropes. So Jagannath is gigantic. He's more than 2 meters, it seems, and he's very broad. It's like this, maybe. And so he's very heavy. And then when they're moving, first they move Balaram. So they lean him forward, and then they pull his feet out forward so that he goes to the next step. And he lands on the pillow, and the pillow, pow, explodes. And then fillings fly up in the air. So you can actually hear the pillows explode. And while they're moving Jagannath, then they have, like for Balaram, they have a big white fan. And this fan is maybe 4 meters high in the air. And in front they have 2 rows of priests. And the first rows are fanning with chamar fans. And in front of them they have more priests, and they're banging on these big gongs. The bong, bong. And they're all, there must be 200, 100 on each side at least, if not more. And they all bang in unison. Bong, 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 bong. And you can actually hear that for kilometers. There's a tremendous sound. So just the moving Jagannath, it's a whole big pageantry. So when he gets down to level ground, then he is like walking. He's moving forward. They're moving him by pulling like that. And as he's moving, the fan's moving, and all these people are fanning with the chamaras, the white whisk fans. And in front of that, the boom, 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 boom. Just big guys are beating on the gongs. So really, it's a tremendous pageantry. It's really like some kind of royal procession. You never see something like that. I was watching, I turned on television for some news, and then it was reading head of state arriving in Delhi. So it showed how they do, you know, greeting of a head of state. They have the band play the national anthem, da-da-da-da-da, whatever the national anthem is. And then after that, everyone stands and salute. They have a 21 or 19 gun salute, depending if it's a president or prime minister. And everyone stands and boom, boom, boom. And that's it, you know. It's kind of like, you know, when the modern way was so dry. Here they're receiving the Lord. It's like his procession. It was so majestic and beautiful. And then these pujaris look half the size in height of Balaram. And they have a ramp going up to the rath. And they are taking Balaram up the rath, up the ramp. And then they got like halfway up, and somehow the rope slipped. And then Balaram was like coming back. And then all these it looked like these, like Balaram was going to crush them. And it was like one pujari climbing on the back of another, climbing on the back of another. And it was, you know, all trying to push to keep Balaram up. It was, and then there's a big, you know, crowd shouting out. Somehow they got Balaram stabled up, and then they put him back up and on the rat. Then for Subhadra coming down, because she's smaller, she just came right down. It was like, but then for Krishna, Bal Jagannath to come down, it was another whole, I mean, it took over an hour. maybe 2 hours. You know, it was like a long time just to get Jagannath from the temple to the rat. It was a major operation. That takes like half the day. When they get finally on the rat, then the king of Puri comes out on horses with a big turban and everything, and he has a gold broom and he goes on the rat and he does a sweeping service for Lord Jagannath. Now, the king of Puri is very friendly with us, so he's arranged that sometime recently Radhanath Swami and some other devotees, they got right within the police cordon. There's a cordon around the rat and then there's the ropes. So within that cordon, they allow the devotees to come in and chant Hare Krishna for the deities. And it was on nationwide television, everything. Very nice. So still they're keeping this tradition together even after 500 years or more. It's a very beautiful tradition. So when you read the explanations here, you can see they're still more or less keeping the same thing. I mean, at that time, everything, they're probably, you know, Puri was very clean and it wasn't commercialized like what it is today. And there was so much, there was a real king with real decorations, and I'm sure things have toned down a lot. But even now it's impressive, what to speak of what it was like then. So once the Lord was on the rath and the rath was moving, then Lord Chaitanya organized himself into 7 kirtan parties. First parties, and later there were 3 more. So it describes each of the parties. Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing in one of the parties. Nityananda was the head dancer in another. Advaitacharya and one, Haridas Thakur. So these are the big dancers. Even Advaitacharya was very old. He was 75 years old by that time. He is the chief dancer in the party. They didn't have loudspeakers, so the way they did it was they'd have one kirtan singer and 5 responders. So 5 people would sing with the lead singer. Whatever he would sing, they'd just immediately grab up the tune and sing with him. So it'd be like amplified 6 times. Describe here all the different devotees who formed the parties. So the 4 parties were dancing in front of Jagannath. Then there was a party on each side, another party at the rear. So altogether there were 7 parties. 14 drums playing at once. One time in India we had a special kirtan with 100 mridangas. Learning how to play mridanga together, that's a special art. Boom, boom, boom. And then they all play together and dance together. It's very beautiful. And they said the whole Sankirtan resounded like it filled the whole 3 worlds. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Jai Jagannath! Jai Jagannath! So first Lord Chaitanya was wandering through the different kirtan groups, and then he showed a special mystical power where he simultaneously appeared in all the 7 groups. So everybody thought that Lord Chaitanya is present in my group. We are very fortunate Lord Chaitanya is in my group with us. He's picked our group. We're the best Sankirtan group. Especially blessed. They didn't know he was in every group. Now, King Pratap Rudra, there's a very special, Leela with King Pratap Rudra. If we take that pastime, we mentioned in the class how Advaita's servant was banned to see Lord Chaitanya. But he got allowed in. But King Pratap Rudra, doing so much service for Lord Chaitanya, but he was also banned that he couldn't go to see Lord Chaitanya. It wasn't allowed because Lord Chaitanya, I want to associate with kings. Kings are too much dealing with politics and money and sense gratification, so they're very contaminating for me to be with such an enjoyer. But actually Pratap Rudra was a very sincere devotee. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to warn his followers to be careful in associating with very materialistic people. But when Pratap Rudra went and swept the road, swept the rat before the rat of Jagannath, then he actually won over Lord Chaitanya. You could see that this is a sincere devotee, because in those days kings were very pompous, so for a king to take a broom in his hand was like inconceivable. They weren't their royalty, right? They don't lift their hand. They don't, you know, everything is done for them. So if he takes a broom in his hand and sweeps it, that's a big statement he is making. Especially in India, traditionally the sweepers are considered like a sanitary engineers or something, kind of, you know, as they call them now, plumbers or something. They're considered really the lower class of occupation, because now everything's already highly sanitized with pipes and everything, but in those days there was open air toilets. And people would go out in the outhouse and they'd pass, and then it would be collected in a bowl, and the sweepers would go around and scoop it up and put it in a wheelbarrow and go around town scooping up everybody's excrement. So it was considered that that job was a kind of a really dirty job. It's like, you know, the lowest job to do. So people that did it, because they were dealing with stool all day, no one wanted to touch them. That's how they became. It was a very practical thing that they were untouchable, because they were untouchable in the sense that they were dirty. But then it became like a caste stigma, so that's being eradicated now in India. But the work itself is a pretty menial. So a king would never be seen, you know, dead or alive with a broom in his hand. But here the king took a broom and swept for Jagannath. So it was it's hard in the West, because where we do everything, we drive our own cars, even the richest person, you know, does things himself. So very few people that don't do everything themselves. To be really rich, they have servants. But in that time, it was a very big statement, and Lord Chaitanya appreciated that. So he revealed to Pratap Rudra that he was simultaneously in these seven kirtan parties. And when the king informed Kasi Mishra what he was seeing, then Kasi Mishra said, "Oh king, your fortune has no limit." So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he could also see. But no one else could see what Lord Chaitanya was doing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been very satisfied to see the king accept the menial task of sweeping the street, and for this humility the king received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could therefore observe the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. So although he was refused an interview, he was given some special causes mercy. Actually, Pratap Rudra, can you imagine, he was so frustrated. He said, "What is the use of me being a king? The only one thing I want in my life is to have association with Lord Chaitanya. He's living in my kingdom, and every one of my subjects can go to see him. Everybody in the entire kingdom can see him, but me." At one point he said, "I'm going to commit suicide. If I can't see him, what's the use of living? Why should I be a king?" Why, you know? And then Lord Chaitanya heard about that from Ramananda Rai, and Ramana pleaded, you know, do something, give him some encouragement. He's a nice king, he's good devotee actually, you're making sadhya, you're really, what she tells, really putting the screws on him, you know, to really making him feel so much separation. And then she says, okay, I'll see his son. So the prince came and he gave the prince a chatter, one of his used chatters, and said, you can give that to your father. So he just somehow keeping him alive, so giving him some hope. Otherwise, he was feeling so much frustration. I mean, Lord Chaitanya was really making Pratap Rudra Maharaj feel so much separation. It was actually, we can't understand how much mercy he was giving to him. And then finally, I mean, there's so many pastimes. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya was dancing and jumping in the air, roaring like thunder, moving in a circle like a wheel. You know how in the nighttime, if you move a firebrand, it makes if you do it fast enough, it looks like a big circle. Lord Chaitanya was moving so fast that it looked like a contiguous circle, like one solid Lord Chaitanya loop. That's how fast he was dancing. That you couldn't see where he was. It was like he was in the circle, all the places at the same time, even in daytime. Sometimes his hairs would stand on end. Sometimes he was perspiring, crying, trembling. Sometimes he'd crash on the ground and roll on the ground. Nityananda would take his hands out and try to grab him. Sometimes they have that picture of Nityananda grabbing. Not here. He tried to catch the Lord running after Lord Chaitanya. And Advaita Acharya was walking behind the Lord loudly chanting, Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
So then there was the people crowding in trying to see Lord Chaitanya dance. So they made three circles of devotees holding their hands. First circle was under Nityananda Prabhu. He had one circle. Then there was a second circle by Kashiswar and Govinda Das. And the third circle was Pratap Rudra Maharaj and his personal associates. They formed another circle around the two inner circles. So then King Pratap Rudra came down and was actually able to see Lord Chaitanya dancing. And then amazing pastime happened where Harish Chandra, who was like the he got slapped by Shivas for poking him so much to make him move aside, and then he got really angry because he was a big general. And then Pratap Rudra said, don't worry, it's just special mercy you got. You got hit by a Vaishnava. So now during Aarti you can have a kirtan. They'll be setting up for a yagya. Hope you enjoy Rath Yatra today, and everyone remembers the transcendental pastimes of Goranga!
Goranga!